Welcome back to Through the Word, to Mark's Gospel, and to the moment of truth. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? The moment, the critical seconds, the pivotal pause, when the truth hangs in the balance. Everything depends on this moment, and all will be revealed. And that is precisely what we have in Mark 16. It is the moment of truth for Jesus. We left off at the end of chapter 15 at a tomb, and the body of the man who claimed to be the Son of God, the Jewish Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life, was lain there lifeless. Jesus was dead. For the disciples, it was the moment of doubt, if not despair. The one they had followed, the one for whom they had lost everything, set all their hopes, dedicated their entire lives to follow, was killed at the cruel hands of a Roman cross. I hope that I will not be guilty of over-dramatizing this, but this is drama, very real drama, for the disciples, for every person who wants to follow Christ, and for everyone who faces the reality of death and wants to know whether there is hope on the other side of it. And for the disciples, this is not a rehearsed play. It is unknown. It is waiting through Friday, through Saturday, and finally to very early Sunday morning. Verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" These three women were devoted followers of Jesus. Two of them were moms to some of the disciples. Every group needs some faithful moms around. And one was saved from a dark and demonized life. The women were the last to stay at the cross, and they are the first to show up at the tomb. I imagine the disciples are busy trying to figure this all out, but these moms decide to just go ahead and do the right thing. And for them, honoring Jesus with proper burial spices was very simply the right thing to do. Now, they're not expecting a miracle here. They showed up with burial spices. They're worried about the massive stone at the tomb's entrance. There's no amazing faith here, but there is simple faithfulness. Then verse 4, "But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed." The alarm of the women is understandable. When you walk into a place expecting no one and find a man dressed in gleaming white, it'll spook you. We know from the other Gospels that this man in a white robe is an angel, and there were, in fact, two of them there. Verse 6, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Jesus wasn't there. Verse 8 says the women were trembling and bewildered. No kidding. This is shock. What did the man in white just say? He has risen. Risen? He's going to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you. That last phrase had to stick. Just as he told you. Jesus had told the disciples many times that his death and resurrection were coming soon. But it just didn't click. It didn't fit their plan or their ideas. Now, before you judge, consider how many times the Lord has promised us trials and persecutions, and how often we are so surprised when they actually hit. It's selective hearing. We all do it. But the key for you, and the key for the disciples, is to look back and see that God has always kept his word. He is ever faithful. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, putting the gospel stories together, the women left the tomb to tell the disciples. The disciples wouldn't believe it. But Peter and John came back to the tomb, and Mary Magdalene tagged along. Peter and John found the tomb empty and left, but Mary stayed this time. As it says here in verse 9, Mary was the first to see Jesus, alive, just as he told them. Now, one quick question to answer. Why don't all four Gospels tell the same story? If it's true, shouldn't they be the same? Well, not exactly. A friend of mine who works in court shared some insight with me on hearing testimonies. When stories contradict each other, that's an obvious issue. But when stories agree too well, if they all say the same thing, it usually means that they conspired ahead of time. Everybody just say this, then we won't get in trouble. honest testimonies should not contradict, but should not be identical either. The real world has real facts with different perspectives and different parts to every story. And that is precisely what we get here in the four Gospels, particularly with the resurrection. Piecing it together is good, but don't get lost in the details. The central testimony here, the real question at hand, is Jesus dead or alive? Could it be true? Back here in Mark, Jesus appeared again on the road to Emmaus as two disciples walked with him for miles. Now, the rest of that story is in Luke's account. In fact, most of the end of Mark here is a quick summary of what the others record in more detail. Jesus appears several times, commissions his disciples to go and make more disciples, and he ascends to heaven. But some of you are already caught on a note in some of your Bibles that says verses 9 through 20 are not in the earliest manuscripts. Now, there's a long-standing argument on this one as to whether or not this last section really belongs in the Bible. I'm not going to delve into it deeply. Two things for you to know. One, there's nothing new here. As I said, it's really a short summary of what we already know from the other Gospels. So if it doesn't belong, nothing new is lost. Though a misuse of verse 18 has convinced some very foolish Christians to pick up snakes and drink poison. Two, there are good arguments that say it does belong, but I'll leave that to you to research. Whatever you decide, don't pick up snakes, unless you have to. But snakes are beside the point. The heart of this story, and of all the claims of Jesus Christ and of the entire Bible, are hinged on the resurrection of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said, "This is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared to many." If Jesus is dead, Paul says, your faith is useless. It's all vanity. But if it's true, if Jesus is alive, then it's everything. If it's true, then Romans is true, that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us, believers, and he will give life to our mortal bodies. If it's true, then I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I do not want to hold on to a form of godliness, but deny its power. I want Hebrews 7, the power of an indestructible life. Listen, Jesus did not come to teach us platitudes on wisdom and good living. He came to take on death, the ultimate enemy, to grab sin and death, hold them fast to the cross, and go down with them, but come out alive. Jesus' claims were massive. There's no way around it. The priests understood it. They said it. Jesus, a mere man, claimed to be God. And when they demanded a sign from him, Jesus promised them only one, the resurrection. There is one key statement in verse 14 that shouldn't be missed. Later on, when Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples, he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. So what about you? Will you hide behind arguments over whether or not a few redundant verses really belong here? Will you get lost in some minor dilemmas over whether there was one angel or two? Or will you take this head on and come face to face with the questions that really matter? Who is Jesus? Is he dead or is he risen? And when it comes to your moment of truth, will you call him Lord?
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. You can find this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.